Amen. His love is relentless. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and open them up to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. I'm going to read a verse there, verse 3. And as you're turning there, I do want to say that, amen, we have an event coming up later this month. And, amen, we're going to be, Randall mentioned handing out flyers. We also need to get signatures, amen, from our neighbors to make sure that our neighbors are okay with us blocking the street. And so we're going to be doing that today and this week, to make sure that from the businesses around us and the neighbors that that they're okay with it. So we have our petitions and our letters to give out. And so we'd like for you to help us do that. Amen. Today after service and then this week. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. And I'm looking, I'm going to read this from the New International Version if you have it. Very first book in the Bible. And this is kind of going off of, Pastor Danny, if you were here Friday night, Pastor Danny was there in Genesis, and he talked about the final thing that God created. The beautiful crown of his creation is people. He created people. I'm going to talk about the first thing. I was inspired Friday night. Amen. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. This is what it says in the New International Version. It says, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light." Father God, I pray, Lord, this morning that the light would come on for us, that you would turn on this light, this special light, this heavenly light, this spiritual light. I pray that you would illuminate our minds and our hearts, Father. Help us to see what is real, what is true. I pray, Father, that you would open our eyes, Lord God, the eyes of our minds, the eyes of our hearts, O God. Father, help us to see your truth in your word, your truth in the world. Help us to discern things, my God, to see things as they are, because the light makes visible all that there is, Father God. So I just pray for your illumination this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 records the very first words that God speaks. His first words are spoken right here. And not only are these the first words, but we're able to see exactly what it is God wanted to establish first. Before he made the mountains or the trees, before he made anything that we would call beautiful, he created something first, and that first thing was light. Verse 2 tells us that the earth was formless and empty. And then it says that darkness was over the surface of the deep, which we understand is the oceans and the land. And there was a mixture of both because the waters had not really obeyed any kind of direction. Like, it was almost as if God made creation and he spoke creation into existence. He created the heavens and the earth, but everything was without shape, without function and distinction and darkness. It was almost as if darkness says, hey, you know what, man, if you're going to create, then I got dibs, man. I'm here first before there was light. And it established itself there in creation. And the earth was empty. The earth was without shape, formless. It was empty. And God had to confront that darkness. Verse 2 tells us, formless, empty, and dark. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And as he spoke to the light. Not to the darkness, but to the light with a positive command. And he told the light to exist in this dark place. I trip out. Now I read this stuff slowly. You can tell. I read it slowly. I want to hear what God is saying and what God is doing. And as I look at it slowly, I'm looking at it and say, he didn't speak to the darkness. He spoke to the light with a positive command. Exist in this darkness. He didn't chase the darkness away. He didn't rebuke the darkness. He didn't tell it to flee. He could have. He could have spoken to the darkness. He could have rebuked the darkness and said, "Darkness, get out of here. I'm doing something new." But he spoke to the light, "Go and exist in this dark place. Let there be light." He told the light to be. Let there be light. In fact, if you were to look at the preceding verse, darkness was everywhere. Like I read a moment ago in verse 2, darkness, it was everywhere. It was already established. It had taken up residency in all of creation. Before light was created, darkness had a stronghold. It had its place. It had its foothold. It was there. It had established itself. And whenever light is taken away, even today, you turn off the light, guess who rushes back into place? Darkness. Hasn't completely gone away because God didn't rebuke it and get rid of it. He simply said to the light, "You need to exist in dark places." And when you exist in dark places, people can see things as they are. I can create beauty when the light is there. I can create the flowers and the trees and all the other things, and you can see it and appreciate it, but you cannot see it as long as darkness rules. So he spoke to the light, and he told the light to exist. But even though the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, it wasn't until he spoke and commanded the light to take over that darkness would have continued to reign. It shows up still from time to time, but darkness would have had its way. So darkness is the default. In other words, darkness is what happens if you don't confront it. Darkness is what happens if you don't change it on purpose. If you don't put it in check, if you refuse to challenge the darkness, put it in check, it'll make itself at home, wherever that might be. If you turn on the light, darkness flees. The smallest light can exist in darkness. You can have a place as darkness can get, but that little light isn't overwhelmed. It'll shine, and you can see it in a dark place. But if you turn off the light, darkness rushes back in place as if, man, this is my, you know, as if it belongs, like it's taking charge. Turn off the light, man. Turn off the light, and we're here. It's here. Darkness is here when the light is gone. Darkness is what happens when light refuses to shine. The Bible says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And even though he was there over the waters, it's not until he speaks to the darkness that things change. And what fascinates me the most, you can call me strange or weird or whatever, but as I read this, what fascinates me most is that the sun wasn't even created until the fourth day. How does that happen? That God hadn't even made the sun yet. Verse 14 says, "And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark the seasons and the days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. It goes on in verse 16. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars, but you're different. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. When God said, "Let there be light," the first time, in verse 3, he was talking about something totally different than the sun. He's talking about something else. Here in verse 14, he's talking about a physical light, sunlight. You know, you could turn on a flashlight. He's talking about a different kind of a light. That's different. But 3 days before this, there was a different kind of darkness that needed a different kind of a light.
And all of us know what it's like to be in the dark, right? We've been in the dark before, right? Physical darkness can disorient you. When you turn off the lights, you can get lost and disoriented. Physical darkness will do that to you. We see it in when the nighttime comes, when the sun goes down. You can have perfect vision, 20/20 vision, and still not know where you're going. Darkness does that to us. It causes us to stumble. It causes us to lose our way. The physical darkness. Physical darkness can cause you to fall down and scrape your knee, but you can get up from that kind of a fall. But spiritual darkness will cause you to stumble and never get up. It'll cause you to fall down and stumble and not recover. Both kinds of darkness will keep you from seeing what's really going on around you. Both of them are the same in that regard, but physical darkness keeps you from seeing your physical surroundings, the things around you. Spiritual darkness keeps you from seeing the truth, what's really going on. This darkness was spiritual. This very first encounter, the very first words God spoke, the words, first words he ever spoke in Scripture, the very first words we have from God speaks to this kind of darkness. His first recorded words are to the darkness. Light, you need to exist. Light, you need to exist. Man, look at, this place is dark. The world is dark. That household is dark. That city is dark. Light be. Light exist. Let there be light in this place so that they can see the beauty of what I desire to do in the lives of people. The darkness is not good, so let there be light. 3 days before he created the sun, he confronted the darkness. So what does this have to do with us today? It has a whole lot to do with us today. Because this kind of darkness is persistent. It doesn't give up easy. It doesn't go away. It never went away. It's still around. It's still around today. This is the same kind of darkness that fell over Egypt during the plagues. Remember? There was a darkness that fell over the land. And the Bible says that it was so dark that it was thick that you can feel it. That's different than just the absence of light. That's different. That's a different kind of a darkness. This was the same darkness that fell over Jerusalem before the birth of Christ. The Bible says in Isaiah 9:2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And when Jesus showed up, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He's talking about something other than the sun. He says in John 12:46, I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Hello, somebody. Hallelujah. He's talking about something else. And the whole world sat in darkness until Jesus raised up his disciples. And he trained them and he sent them out into the world. To walk out in the streets, to talk to people in the marketplaces, to meet them where they work, where they live. They are lights of the world. And the world was dark before they went out. And their instructions and their exampleship show the world what God requires of them. They were light. They were not the verse 14 kind of light, but the verse 3 kind of light. They were light. And when Jesus was arrested, you remember the story? Before his trial and before his crucifixion, he told the Jews, man, every day I was with you in your marketplaces, in the temple courts, and you didn't lay a hand on me. Every day I was with you. But this is your hour when darkness reigns. When darkness reigns. Darkness is persistent, this kind of a darkness. It never went away completely. And it shows up from time to time. It shows up today. It shows up today. There's times when situations happen, circumstances happen, and there's something we feel. This is different, man. This is not the same. This situation is not, I sense something. I discern something. People are different. It's different. There are times, man, when people have a glow and a countenance upon their face where they are glowing and on fire for God. Then there's times when circumstances are dark. Dark, a different kind of a darkness. Darkness rushes back in. It was the same kind of darkness that fell over the land when Jesus was crucified. You remember the story. The Bible says that from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, darkness came over the whole land. What in the world was that? What was that? When they made that movie, The Passion of the Christ, they tried to make it like it was clouds. They remember it was like cloud. They made it cloudy. Like it was that kind. It wasn't that kind of a darkness. It wasn't the blocking of the sun. It was in the middle of the day. From the Bible says from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. That's from 12 noon to 3 p.m. There was darkness that fell over the land at the time that Jesus was crucified. Darkness was having its way. Darkness was rushing back into creation. Darkness was saying, man, we were here first and we're going to take this land. Darkness creeping back in, persistent. It looks for marriages to mess up. It looks for cities to mess up, friendships to mess up. It'll creep in if you don't confront it. It will exist if you don't confront it. God didn't rebuke the darkness. He says, light, you need to shine in that darkness. You need to show up in the darkness. You need to be there in the darkness. Man, that's heavy. Verse 3 is heavy, man. It's life-changing for the believer. Man, show up in the darkness because you can change things. Man, the darkness, he didn't have to deal with the darkness. He simply called his light to show up and the light changed things. You can't see beauty unless the light is there. You can't see the gospel unless the light is there. You can't see hope unless the light is there. Unless you show up, man, show up for your children. Show up for your spouse. Show up for your neighbors, man, because otherwise all they see is darkness. All they see is darkness. This is the kind of darkness that creeps into cities. It'll even creep into a church. Relationships, man, and we've seen it before. Things that don't feel the same. Man, there's something different when things don't look the same. This type of darkness is more than just the absence of visible light. It's the absence of God's purpose. When people lose purpose, God's purpose, the absence of God's grace. It's when you feel something ain't right, man. There's something not right here. Let's pray. Man, I love the fact that we gather on Wednesday night. Give us your prayer need. If you have prayer needs or if you have time to pray with us, I think that Wednesday night prayer, it is like a seed bed that is allowing things to happen, whether it be wherever it may be. Amen. Lives, people healed. But man, unless you confront the darkness, it'll just simply be there. Make itself at home. I got dibs. You gonna create something? I got dibs. I'm there first. I'm calling shotgun. And it'll just be there. It'll just be there until God says, let there be light. And when God says, let there be light, the darkness must flee. This morning, that same darkness covers over our city. Creeps into our neighborhoods, our homes. You find it in our institutions. There's darkness sometimes in hospitals, police departments, politicians. There's darkness sometimes. It creeps. It finds a way. Sometimes you see it in marriages, friendships. But just as God says, let there be light, I'm saying to you this morning, let there be light. He spoke the light into a dark situation. He said, light, show up. Be there. Exist. Let your light shine. Don't hide it. Shine. And just as God said, let there be light, Jesus makes it even more personal when he says, you are the light of the world. You are that light. You are the instruments God wants to use to bring light into a dark world. You make things visible. You do. You reveal things as they are. You show the true nature of things. Those of you that share your scriptures with others, that pray with others, that teach others, you reveal things as they really are. You show their true nature, their beauty, and in some cases, their flaws. You point things out. You discern things. You reveal things. You shine as living examples that show the world what they must do in order to please God. Right? Let that light shine. That's what God is saying. Let that light shine. That's what Jesus is saying. Let that light shine. Nobody lights up a light and hides it under the bed. Nobody lights up a light and puts a bowl over it. Man, they put it in a place so that everybody in the room will see it. And if you're a city, man, and listen, you know, because that in that context, he's talking about a household. He says, what about a neighborhood? Man, you are like a city on a hill. You cannot hide a city like that. When it is pitch darkness, a city on a hill can be seen for miles because of the lights there. Candles in the window, you know, people outside cooking or warming themselves. A city on the hill can be seen. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine. God's command wasn't a rebuke. He never spoke to the darkness at all. He didn't have to. He never said to the darkness, excuse me, darkness. Can't you see I'm working here? Can't you see I'm trying to create a universe? Do you mind, darkness? He never spoke to the darkness. He spoke to the light. Light. Let me invite you into this situation. Light, let me bring you into this situation. Light, show up over here. Light, go over there. Light, I want you to be here in this place. Didn't have to speak to the darkness at all. God's command was positive. He spoke to the light. Sometimes we avoid things because they seem dark. Sometimes we avoid people because they seem dark. Sometimes we avoid tense situations because it seems dark. And God isn't calling you to speak to the darkness. He just simply wants you to show up as light. Just come as a positive presence in darkness. God didn't avoid the darkness. He invited the light. Can you imagine trying to turn the light on in a dark room? And you click the switch, and it is so dark in there, the light is just like holding on to the light bulb. I ain't going in there, man, it's dark in there. And it's holding on to the light bulb, not wanting to leave. You turn on the light, man, it chases the darkness away. That is the metaphor. That's the picture that God uses to describe his people. In a world that is dark, he summons the light. He summons the light. And that's you. You are the light of the world. You can't hide the light. You don't have to say anything. You just shine. You just shine. Light doesn't speak. Light doesn't have a voice. It just shows up and it changes things. As the devil goes around roaring and making noise, the light just shines and pierces the darkness. It's exposing falsehood, exposing all of those things that are ugly, bringing truth. It doesn't have a voice, and it doesn't need a voice. It simply shines. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 6. He says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. Hello. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age, that's the devil, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Jesus himself says in the Gospels, he says, man, we used to love our deeds that we did in darkness. Man, we did dark things, man. And the deeds that we did in darkness, he says, we used to love that stuff, right? And there's always somebody that says, you know what I did one time? You know, like they like talking about it, right? And it's like that song we used to sing, man, the freaks come out at night. And that's scriptural. You look at them, yeah, they're right, man. The freaks do come out at night. There's something about the darkness. Ephesians says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Show up, man, hear his voice in dark situations. Just show up. There's wisdom in light. There's truth in light. Just show up with the peace. You don't have to argue. You don't have to, just with grace, the grace of God. Because light points to the beauty of his creation. Light makes things visible. Light is, it allows us to see what is really happening around us. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5, it says, you are all sons and daughters of the light, and sons and daughters of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Amen. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of what? Out of darkness into his wonderful light. Amen. That is who you are. So when, amen, give the Lord praise. So the instructions that God gives to you is simply to be. Let there be light. Let light exist. Just show up. Be. Live. Live. Occupy. Walk the streets of the city. Man, get involved. Just show up. Be there. Be, you know, wherever you live, wherever you work, be what you are, because light changes things. Amen. Will you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah. Fascinating verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Father God, I pray that you continue to speak these words when there's trouble in our family, when darkness shows up where we live or where we work, that you would continue to speak these words here in our sanctuary and during our times of ministry to the city where darkness is present, that you would speak these words, let there be light. That you would send, my God, your light. Father God, we know that at the end of time, you will deal with the darkness. At the end of time, my God, you have a lake of fire for the devil and his angels. At the end of time, every structure, every system, everything that causes the failure of good to exist, that causes the failure of good intentions, that causes the failure of all of those things, will be thrown into the lake of fire. But until then, Lord, what you have said is for the light to simply be. Let there be light. And I pray, Father God, that the light in each of our lives shines more intensely, more brightly than ever. We're living in dark times, Father God, where the world is getting darker and darker, and the atrocities of crimes and the lives and the kinds of things that we hear about day to day, Father God, show us just how dark the world is. Let there be light in a dark world. Let there be men and women, my God, who will shine like light in the darkness. Father God, I pray, transform this city, transform this church, transform our families, our marriages, our relationships with the light. We ask this all in Jesus' wonderful and powerful name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Perhaps God has spoken to you. Perhaps you can think about a circumstance, a place, a situation where darkness kind of just shows up as if it belongs there. That darkness, formlessness and emptiness and darkness did not belong in creation. That wasn't, it shows up. It was there to resist what God wants to do. Everything God decides, everything God plans, there is a resistance, and there is coming a day where the resistance will be dealt with. But in the meantime, God doesn't, he doesn't waste his time trying to deal with it, fight with it, wrestle with it. He simply asks the light to show up. Light, show up and deal with this. Light, show up in this situation. And sometimes that's what we need to do. Simply show up. Just be there. Be present. We don't have to say things, you know, just like light. Light just kind of, the presence of light reveals things. It makes the truth become very obvious. We just show up and we're there. The grace of God is there. You can begin to see the beauty of his creation when the light is there. Perhaps you face situations where you say, Lord, my God, we need light here. We need light here. The truth is difficult to see. The beauty is difficult to see in this circumstance. Oh God, let your command be applied in my situation. Let your command apply to my household, my family, my workplace, among my friends, where I live, work. My God, we need you in our nation. Oh God, let there be light. Let there be light, my God, in our city. And Father God, use us, speak to us. If that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you to come. We're going to pray. But we're going to sing a song, and we're going to invite the presence of the Lord. But I want you to come. Find a place of prayer, and let's confront this darkness. Hallelujah. Father God, this morning I pray. I pray for every individual who has been faced, my God, with the threat of the darkness. The lies of the darkness, how it puts us at odds with those, my God, we love. As it puts us at odds, father and daughter, father and son, mother and daughter, mother and son, husband and wife, friends and neighbors. It puts us at odds, Lord God, with you, with creation. Darkness hides things, but the light reveals things. I pray your light, oh God, your breakthrough light, my God, your healing light, your revealing light, it's truth, my God, it's hope, Lord God. Let the light shine, let it exist in darkness. Show up, my God, show up for us this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.